Perfume was the first to go, but I'd been expecting that. Scented detergent followed, then dryer sheets. I wasn't sorry to give up raw onions or hot sauce. Not adding extra salt was rough at first, tolerable for a bit, then miserable. When I went out to eat, everything tasted like it had been doused in brine. Losing Listerine wasn't so bad. Replacing it with a rinse of citric acid solution and watered-down whiskey was. I went through a dark phase when I cut out coffee. But by that point, I was used to being a little slow in the morning. Daytime sobriety was ancient history, along with all hot liquids, the enamel on my teeth, and my Advil supply. All this was part of the deprivation routine I cobbled together at the advice of more than 24 sommeliers, who, over the course of a year and a half, became my mentors, tormentors, drill sergeants, bosses, and friends. You might be wondering why I'd spend 18 months getting coached by a bunch of pinstripe-wearing bottle pushers. After all, aren't sommeliers just glorified waiters with a fancy name who intimidate diners into splurging on wine? That was pretty much how I saw them, too, until I handed myself over to an elite clan of sommeliers for whom serving wine is less a job than a way of life, one of living for taste above all else. They enter high-stakes wine competitions, sometimes while 9 months pregnant, handle millions of dollars in liquid gold, and make it their mission to convince the world that beauty and flavor belongs on the same aesthetic plane as beauty in art or music. They study weather reports to see if rain will dull their noses, and lick rocks to improve their taste buds. Toothpaste is a liability. They complain about that new glass smell and sacrifice marriages in the name of palate practice. One master sommelier, whose wife divorced him over his compulsive studying, told me, "Certainly, if I had to choose between passing my exam and that relationship I had, I would still choose passing my exam." Their job depends on detecting, analyzing, describing, and accounting for variations of flavor in a liquid that's compound for compound the most complicated drink on the planet. There's hundreds and hundreds of volatiles. There's polysaccharides, there's proteins, amino acids, biogenic amines, organic acids, vitamins, carotenoids, an enology professor explained to me. After blood, wine is the most complex matrix there is. With that obsessive focus on minute differences in flavor comes, actually, I wasn't sure what exactly. At least not when I started. I came to these sommeliers wanting to know what life was like for them out at the extremes of taste and how they'd gotten there. It turned into a question of whether I could get there too, if any of us could, and what would change if I did. Some words of warning. For you, a glass of wine might be your happy place, the thing you reach for at the end of a long day when you switch off a part of your brain. If you want to keep it that way, then stay far, far away from the individuals in this book. On the other hand, if you've ever wondered what all the fuss is about wine, whether there's really a discernible difference between a $20 and a $200 bottle, or what would happen if you pushed your senses to their limits, well then, I have some people I'd like you to meet.